Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 23. We began last week with a series concerning the relationships of church, looking at church as a special place of relationship. In Acts 4, verse 23, we see Peter and John have been set free. Being let go, they went to their own company. And that, of course, is the church. They went to the place where they knew the church was assembled. The reason they went there is because that is where they belong. The reason they went there is because that's where their hearts were drawn. And that's where they wanted to be. The reason they went there was these were the people in which they were most closely identified with. It was the people that they had the most common ground with, the most agreement with, and the most delight in. This is where there was a bond, a close-knit relationship. It was a very special place to them. And the Lord's church is a very special place, the most special place on all the earth. We saw last week, we made the distinction between the family of God, the kingdom of God, and the church of God. Family of God consisting of all the saved in heaven and earth at any given time. Kingdom of God, including all the saved on earth at any given time. In other words, the kingdom of God is the family of God on earth. And then, of course, you have the church, which is chosen from the chosen. And we looked last week and we see that the nature of the church, of course, is local. The opportunity for fellowship, the opportunity for relationship, there's that opportunity in a church that does not exist in just the kingdom of God. There is not only the opportunity, there is, or should be, a close-knit relationship that exists within one of the Lord's churches that does not exist outside of the Lord's church. It doesn't mean that we can't have fellowship with people outside of the church, but there is a special relationship with those within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight we want to see that this distinction and nature of the church as a special place is illustrated in the New Testament. Again, this is not a study in ecclesiology. That's not the purpose of these messages at all. We mentioned last week several truths concerning the church, but this is not a study in the doctrine of ecclesiology or the doctrine of the church. We just want to see that the church, there is a relationship that exists within one of the Lord's churches that is special. I want to look tonight at some metaphors that we find in the New Testament for the church. Some we will not mention, but there are some that we want to mention. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and as we look at these, again, we see the nature. Each of these testifies of the nature of the Lord's church. In verse 14, "You are the light of the world." Now, it's true of you and I individually. We are lights. He goes on to say, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And then he goes on the next verse and talks about a candle, how it's put on a candlestick, which we'll look at in a minute. But I believe the metaphor of a city is used to show what a church is like. First of all, a city has a very definite locality. Every city has a location. We see that a city is built of many and a great variety of materials. A city is a dwelling place. A city has a purpose. A city has a function. A city is governed by specific laws. And a city, believe it or not, has a uniformity about it. There is a unique uniformity that exists in a city. A city, of course, is separate and distinct from the world that is around it. It is much smaller than the world in which it exists. And yet it is bigger and more important than any of its citizens. There is no citizen of a city bigger than the city. There is no citizen of a city more important than the overall city. That is also true in the Lord's church. A city, of course, is not an accident. If you drive through a city, that city did not just happen. It's not an accident. It's not just a coincidence. It is something that has been designed. It's something that has been planned. It is a designed, planned, and prepared place. And each of the Lord's churches is an individual city. Smaller than the world around it, but yet bigger and more important than any one of its members. So a city is a visible entity that occupies literal space. So it is with the Lord's church. We see also the metaphor of a candlestick in verse 15 of Matthew chapter 5. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. That, of course, would be foolish. But on a candlestick. And putting it on a candlestick with other candles, it giveth light unto all that are in the house. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, familiar verse of Scripture, Revelation 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand is, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Again, we're to put our light on a candlestick. A candlestick or a lampstand must have a locality. Upon this candlestick, candles are placed. Individual candles can be different sizes, different shapes. And they're placed there for a purpose. They're placed there in order to give light. Likewise, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ is comprised of individual children of God in a particular place for the purpose of giving light to one another and, of course, to their locality. Now, one candle, which is each one of us, One candle gives off a measure of light. But when you place that candle with several other candles on a candlestick, they unite to give off a much greater light. And that is the church. We are placed, each one of us that have been placed here by the Lord, we have been placed upon the same candlestick. We're not on separate candlesticks. We are placed upon the same candlestick. A candlestick, of course, serves a very useful purpose. A candlestick has a very definite function. A candlestick is distinct from all that is around it. And it's smaller than its surrounding, just like the church is smaller than the kingdom on earth. Yet at the same time, the candlestick is bigger and more important than any one candle. And so it is with the church. Again, a candlestick's not an accident. If you see a candlestick, someone made it. A candlestick is not a coincidence. A candlestick has been made by design. And each of the Lord's churches is an individual candlestick, a place where individual lights are placed to shine collectively as one light. Again, a candlestick is a visible entity. It occupies a literal place. It occupies literal space. We see also in the book of Acts chapter 20, also in Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock." But in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Acts 20, verse 28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves." He's talking to the pastors of Ephesus, the pastors of the church of Ephesus, "and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God." The flock and the church of God are synonymous, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." In 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and verse 3. "Feed the flock of God, which is among you," has a definite place, has a definite locality. "Sheep scattered all over the United States does not constitute a flock. A flock is a gathering. It is a congregating, an assembling. A flock of sheep, of course, is made up of individual sheep that have been gathered together under the direction of a particular shepherd. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ is made up of individual children of God, sheep, in a specific locality, united together under a shepherd. Now, sheep, of course, have many enemies. And you take just a wandering sheep, a sheep that has wandered from the flock. Wandering sheep are very easy prey. Very easy prey. And so that tells us that in a flock, there is a degree of safety. There is a degree of security. You wander from the flock and you become easy prey. Sheep do not fend for themselves. And there is ample provision for sheep within a flock. Within a flock, there is a connection between those sheep. There is an association, there is an interrelation that exists between those sheep. And we are placed in the same flock. We are in the same city. We are on the same candlestick. We are placed in the same flock. Now, a flock is distinct and separate from other sheep. And it certainly is smaller than all the sheep of the world. A flock is smaller than all the sheep in the world. Yet, again, a flock is bigger and more important than any individual sheep. No individual sheep is more important than the flock. No individual sheep is bigger than the flock. And each of the Lord's churches is an individual flock. And a flock provides safety and security. A flock has provisions for the sheep. A flock provides opportunity and privilege that you cannot find outside of the flock. So again, a flock is of benefit to sheep. A flock is a visible entity, and it occupies literal space. Then, of course, notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. The church of Corinth is arguing concerning the ministers or the preachers of the Lord. They're arguing between Paul and Apollos. And Paul says in verse 9, "For we, Paul and Apollos, our labors together with God." Ye is separate from we. Ye, speaking of the church of Corinth, are God's husbandry. Ye are God's vineyard. You are God's garden. A husbandry is a piece of ground that has been separated from the surrounding area. It's been marked off from the surrounding area for a special and peculiar purpose. And it is made up of a variety of plants. Each and every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a husbandry. Each and every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a garden. Now again, a husbandry or a garden is separate and distinct from all the surrounding area. And it is smaller than the surrounding area. Yet it is greater than any individual plant. It is a prepared and planned place. We, as members of the same church, are planted in the same garden. A husbandry is not an accident. A husbandry is not a coincidence. A husbandry, again, speaks of design. And again, each and every one of the Lord's churches are an individual husbandry, an individual garden. And again, a garden is a visible entity occupying literal space. Then notice again in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, "Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Now, we say the church is not the building. It's not. That is, this building is not Home Baptist Church. But a building very aptly describes the nature of a church. Each and every church of the Lord Jesus Christ is like a building. Now, a building implies organization. A pile of lumber is not a building. They have to be put together. A building implies a framework. A building implies that there has been a grouping, a systematic grouping of parts. And when you put all the parts together, you now have a functional entity. That's a building. That's a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A building, of course, is made up of various materials. but they are fitly joined or fitly framed together. We read in Ephesians 2, verses 21 and verse 22. Wherever you see a building, it has a locality. Wherever you see a building, you can be sure it was not an accident. You can be sure that there was a builder. There was a plan. There was a purpose. And there was the actual building of the building. And so it is with the Lord's church. Wherever there is a Lord's church, there has to be a builder. And the builder, of course, is Christ Himself. There is a plan. God has already laid out the plan. There is a purpose. And then there is the actual act of putting the building together. Again, a building is a visible entity occupying literal space. We are members of the same building. Various materials all brought together. Then, of course, you have the metaphor of a human body. This is the most common metaphor used in the New Testament concerning the Lord's church. Notice in the book of Romans, chapter 12, and we'll spend the rest of our time looking at the body without going into a whole lot of detail. But I do not believe that there are very many people who truly grasp the church as a body, that truly understand what that means, a body. Well, and really, it should be, of all the metaphors, it should be the easiest to understand. It's the most apt description. We read in verse 4 and 5 of Romans chapter 12, "For as we have many members, arms, legs, feet, hands, in one body," many members, one body. It's like you have many pieces of wood, one building. "All the members have not the same office." They're not all put there for the exact same purpose. They do not all have the same function. Your hands do not have the same function, do not have the same office as your feet. And your ears do not have the same office as your eyes. They all have different uses. It's all part of one body. Still part of one body. Not two bodies, one body. So we being the members, so we being many, are one body in Christ. This unity is in Christ. And everyone members one of another. That's quite a relationship. And everyone members one of another. That is unity, which we'll get to at a later date. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verses 12 through 28, we see the church functioning as a body. We want to just read a few verses here to save time. But in verse 12, "For as the body is one, it has many members." This goes right along with what we just read. "And all the members of that one body." You can't make it two bodies. It's one body. "One body, being members, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit," the Holy Spirit, Are we all baptized? The Holy Spirit leads, directs into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Now, Jews and Gentiles did not get along. But whether they be Jews or Gentiles, or whether they be bond or free, slaves or free men, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. They're now one. Jew and Gentile, one in that body. For the body is not one member, but many. Your body is not just your arm. It's not just your leg. If you see an arm laying on the side of the road, that's not a body. An arm is not a body. A leg is not a body. A head is not a body. But all the members put together form one body. Verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. God set the members are many. The members have different offices, different functions, different purposes. They're one body, and it is God who has set the members in the body. And he does so as it pleases him. And that is why you shouldn't say, oh, so-and-so would make a good church member here. No, they wouldn't, unless God puts them here. God has to put them here. That's like saying, my arm would be good on your body. God has to put it together. And that's true of Lord's churches. And that's why pastors or anybody else who goes out and tries to put a body together, they have a monstrosity on their hands. They have nothing but trouble. It's God's business to put the body together. And he does so as it pleases him. Then notice verse 20. Well, let's read verse 19. And if they were all one member, that is, if it was just an arm or just a leg, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Verse 27. Now ye, the church of Corinth, are the body of Christ. What a responsibility. We're not just talking now about a human body. Ye, the church of Corinth, are a body of Christ. That does not include all the saved scattered all over earth. A body has to be knit. A body has to be assembled. This is talking about each local New Testament Baptist church. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Those members in particular are those whom God has added. Now, it is true. We see in the book of Jude, we see it other places as well, that people can creep in unawares. That is, not everybody that is under membership roles has been added by God. And that creates a problem within the church. It would be like if all of a sudden I just grew another arm or another leg. It's going to create a problem. It's going to be a hindrance. It's going to be in the way. And those whom God does not add, this may offend some, but it's truth, those whom God does not add are a hindrance, and they are in the way of the function of the body. So again, it's of utmost importance that we be added to the body. It's not, I'm going to go such and such a place and join such and such a church. It doesn't work that way. God puts it together. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. He's talking about the purpose of pastors and teachers. He says it's for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There is a movement today amongst many where they do not feel that they need a pastor. A pastor is for the edifying, the maturing, the developing of the body of Christ. Verse 16, for whom the whole body, and that ought to be our interest, the whole body. We're not interested in just parts of the body. The whole body. The whole body. Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, every member, the whole body, supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part. That is, according to the grace of God, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, a body most aptly describes the Lord's church. We are members of the same body. My right arm has a greater connection with my left arm than my right arm has a connection to your left arm, because they're members of the same body. There is a connection. There is a connection that exists. There is a relationship. There is a closeness. There is a bond that exists in a body. And a body is the most apt description of one of the Lord's churches. A body, of course, just like all of these metaphors, describes the nature of the church. A body must have a location. So it is with the Lord's churches. Body parts do not constitute a body. Again, Ephesians 4:16, the whole body fitly. That means tightly and securely. Joined or united and connected, compacted together. There is a knit. There is a bond that exists in a body that does not exist anywhere else. A body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27, we read that phrase, a body of Christ. That describes the purpose of the Lord's churches. Bodies are dwelling places. These bodies are where we live. These bodies are not us. These bodies are the house that houses us. We live within these bodies. Bodies are dwelling places. That being said, people are identified by their bodies. You see a body and you say, there's Brother Rich. No, not really. That's the house that Brother Rich lives in. But my point is, we are identified by our bodies. So if the church is a body of Christ, that means that Christ must dwell in that body. And it means that Christ must be identified by that body. There is a connection. Again, our bodies are where we live. They're our dwelling place. There is a connection between a person and their dwelling place. There is a connection between a person and a human body. And there is a definite connection between Jesus Christ and His church. It is the dwelling place of Christ. Now, Christ in His fleshly body, of course, has passed into the heavens, no longer visible to the human eye. But Christ is still visible because His churches are now His representative body scattered throughout the world. Christ, in His fleshly body, was a manifestation of God. And each and every member that is placed within this body is to manifest Jesus Christ. And when we do that, the body is a manifestation of Jesus Christ. There cannot be a more important place on all the earth. People despise the church of God. And by the word despise, it doesn't mean hate, though there are some who do. I'm talking about the Lord's people. I'm talking about members of the Lord's churches. They think lightly of the church of God. Anytime you put other things ahead of the church, there's no greater institution. No greater institution. No greater responsibility than to be a member of a body of Christ. And we need to realize the seriousness of being a member of such a body. And we are members of the same body. That means there is a relationship. You're not enemies. If your left arm begins to attack your right arm, you've got a problem. You've got a real problem. You're not going to be able to function. Every time you go to do something with your right arm and your left arm grabs onto it, you're not going to be able to function properly. That's what happens when there's divisions and strifes within a body of Christ. And I don't care if it's husband and wife, brother and sister, or whatever. You know, one of the big problems today, it's nice to have families in church. Families part of the same body. But nowadays, that can present a major problem. Because families today are dysfunctional. And they bring all their dysfunction into the body. So it can be a problem. It can be a great problem. But somehow people get it in their minds. Well, it's family. You are members of the same body. Again, husband, wife, you can argue all the way to church. You'd better get it right before you come in the doors if you want to be right with the Lord. If you do not want to poison the body. A body describes the character of the Lord's churches. A human body is a creation miracle of God. But a church goes beyond that. Because a church is the body of Christ. You want to talk about a miracle? The body of Christ, conceived in the womb of a virgin. The fleshly body of Christ is a miracle of God. Every human body is a miracle of God. But the body of Christ, what a miracle. And every church of the Lord is a body of Christ. Every church of the Lord is a miracle. Created by design. Again, God hath set the members in the body, as it hath pleased Him. It has all been put together by the Lord in suitable order. God, not only is it important who's in that God puts the person in the body, but I believe there's an order also. God does it in a specific order. And nothing should be done out of order. We cannot get ahead of God. We cannot get behind God when it comes to members in the Lord's churches. So, our human bodies are miracles and wonders of God, as seen in Psalm 139. But just as these human bodies are embroidered of God, created by design, so the Lord's churches. And we are members of the same miraculous body, put there by God. Now, just briefly, each member of our body has a relation to our head. Our heads are indispensable to the life of the body. Apart from the head, the body ceases. Apart from the head, the church ceases to be. The head of a church is not a deacon board. The head of a church is not a pastor. The head of a church is not a family. The head of a church is not a particular member. The head of a church is the Lord Jesus Christ. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, the church ceases to be. The head is the telegraph room of the body. Our brain sends signals to the members of the body. And if communication is blocked from the head to any one member of our body, that member becomes cumbersome. That member becomes a hindrance. And that member can even become useless to the body. So it is of the utmost importance that we stay in communication with the head. Because a member out of communication with the head can be cumbersome to the whole body. Drags the whole body down. Slows the whole body down. And it can even become useless to the body, where it has to be severed from the body. Each member has its God-given place. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. We've seen in several places that there is a great variety of members in the body. We have our fingers, we have our hands, we have our toes, we have our feet, our arms, our legs. They do not look alike. They are in different places in our body. The reason the Lord put my arm here and not here is because this is where it belongs. And the reason the Lord put you here and not there is because this is where you belong. We need to accept that. If my arm gets out of sorts and says, I don't want to be an arm anymore, I want to be a leg. Well, I've got a problem. If my arm starts acting like a leg, I've got a problem. And the body is not going to function properly. And that's how it is in the Lord's churches. When a member just decides, well, I'm tired of being a leg, I'm going to be an arm from now on. It doesn't work that way. We all have our place. We all have our office. And again, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. For the body is not one member, but many. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. We are members of the same body. That gives us a responsibility, but that also grants us a privilege. Also, each member has its own work. Each member has its own work and cannot be negligent of that work without doing harm to the body. If a member of my body ceases to do its work, that causes harm to the whole body. And so it is with the church. It's all so closely related. That's why you cannot take the attitude, it's my life, I can live it like I like. Not if you're a member of the body of Christ. Because your every action affects this body. You say, well, not if they don't know about it. Yes, even if they don't know about it. Even if they don't know about it. Each and every member must care for and assist the other members. Body works together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Each part of my body is necessary. Some are more necessary than others. And that's true in the church also. It's not all, you'd say, well, it's all equal. No, it's not. Your bodily parts aren't all equal. They have different offices. So it is in the church. Verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. The members care for and assist one another. Again, I use Brent Solomon over and over as an example. When he had his stroke and his right arm was paralyzed, he would use his left arm to lift up his right arm. And that is how a body of Christ works. When one member is suffering, another member comes along, picks it up, helps it, picks up the slack. That's how a body works. Each member has a close relation, an attachment to the other members. Romans 12, verse 4, and verse 5, and everyone members one of another. You can't get any closer than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, one body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24, God hath tempered, harmonized, and proportioned the body together. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25, there should be no schism in the body. You say, well, it's only natural to have schism. It's only natural to have division. That may be so. But we're not talking about that which is natural. We're talking about that which is miraculous. And there should be no schism in the body. Again, just as an example, if parts of your human body starts attacking other parts or refuses to work with other parts, if your left leg all of a sudden refuses to work with your right leg, you're not going anywhere. If your left leg wants to move backwards and your right leg wants to move forward, you're standing still. You're not going to do anything. And so it is in a church. There is an attachment. They must work together. So we see in Ephesians 4, verse 25, we are members one of another. Again, you can't get any closer. You can't have a closer relationship. There is a relationship that exists in a body of Christ. As a church member, I belong to a particular city. We have all been placed on the same candlestick. We've all been placed in the same flock. We've all been planted in the same husbandry or garden. We're all part of the same building. And we're all part, and I'm speaking of Home Baptist Church, we're all part of the same body. There is a relationship that exists that does not exist anywhere else. This is a responsibility that is unique. You and I, as members of the same body, we have a unique responsibility. We have a responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to one another. We are members one of another. Well, I don't like that person, I'll just stay away from them. That doesn't work in a body. That does not work. We are members one of another. We are members one of another. What a relationship that exists in the Lord's church. Brother Jim, if you'll come and lead us in a verse of song.